We are up to Perek Yud Beis. So previously we saw lots and lots of Zohar. The good news is today I think only one. It's also a shorter Perek. But again, we were deep into the metaphysics, deep into the mysticism and the Kabbalah, all regarding the power of Torah, how Torah is the ultimate energy source for the entire world. It's on the highest of the high of the high. It's one with Hashem. It's one with the Jewish people, because we are really all composites of Torah. Every one of us is really a letter in the Torah. Lots of pretty deep mystical stuff. But I guess you could say Tzach HaShaveh was, the only thing that you could say maybe is more important than Torah is Jews learning Torah. But this is like the, now it has cosmic significance. In other words, you could, if I had done this, or if we were having a conversation, and I asked, what's the importance of learning Torah? I think, lots of good answers could be given, lots of very firm answers could be given, which wouldn't have sounded like anything we had seen last week. You don't have to go to the mystical and to the cosmic. But Rav Chaim Lozner is going with 2 feet in. Right, that is that this, I'm not saying he's denying other things, but he's certainly emphasizing the significance, the cosmic significance and ramifications of studying Torah. So in light of that, he continues the theme. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner at the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. Kol shekein, chidushin amitim d'oraisa, hamischad shim aydei adam. If everything I'm saying is true about any bit of Torah that you learn, All the more so, if you actually make a true chiddush, and that's important. I've had lots of chiddushim, I'm not sure they were all true. I haven't had that many chiddushim, but whatever I've had, I'm still not sure they were true. So here he's describing, a true chiddush. Ein aroch legodel noraos niflaos in yonam upulos of lamala. Again, this is not at all surprising in light of where he's coming from, but still, it's quite dramatic language. It says there is, you can't put a value on how amazing, how powerful this is, and what their impact is in the various worlds. There's did you guys know what pinball machines are? They even have these nowadays. So I was never a pinball player, in any seriousness. But this is like cosmic pinball. You learn, or you have, and it shoots this energy, which it's like firing up all these different worlds. So I don't know, whatever you call it, the Super Bowl or whatever it is, the pinball machine. If you have a true chiddush, you can't even imagine. In the sha'er, how could you put a value? You can't even imagine how much power that has in impacting the other worlds. Shkol mila umila prati tamid chadeshes mepi adam. Every word of Torah. Kujabrichu hu nashikla. Hashem is kissing that Torah, kissing that word. Uma'aterla, he crowns it. Olam chadash. No, there's a new world that's created. Again, as far as I know, he means dafka. If there's chidushim, anytime there's new chidushim, anytime there's new Torah, it's unbelievable. It's powerful. It creates new worlds. V'hein, and this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Hashamayim hachadashim v'aretz hachadasha. I have to say, I didn't look up the whole parak there to see what it's talking about in context. But pulling it out of context, says Rechaim Volozhiner, what's the new heavens that we're talking about? What's the new Aris that we're talking about? This is what we're talking about, says Rechaim Volozhiner, because you have the power. With your Torah study, you have the power to create actual new worlds, and that is what is being referred to in the pasuk. So now we have the significant part of the rest of the parak. I'll have two Zohars, and then we'll get to one Medrash. That's the whole parak, the rest of the parak. But there's still, there's a lot to unpack, and obviously with the Zohar, we got to go a little slowly. So he says as follows: Kamasha Kosef b'Hakdamas HaZohar, Rabbi Shimon Patach, va'asim devarai b'ficha. I will put, my words in your mouth. Kama islei levar nash l'ishtadla ba'araisa yimama v'leila. Right? How much should a person put tremendous effort to put, the words of Hashem, the words of Torah, in his mouth day and night? Begin the kushabrichu hu tzayis l'kelhon d'inun d'misaske b'oraisa, because Hashem listens to everyone who's studying Torah. Kol mila d'ischadish b'oraisa, every word that is mischadish in Torah, al yada d'hahu ishtalda b'oraisa, by someone who is working hard, being mishtadel in their learning. Ovid Rakia Chada, it makes a new heaven, I guess, a new Rakia, a new firmament, whatever that means. Tanan Bahu Shaita, we are taught that at that very moment, the Mila de Araisa is Chadish Mipumi de Barnash, when a human being is Mechadish Nu Torah, Ahi Mila Salka is Adit Kameh de Kushabrichu. It is placed, implanted in front of Hashem. Ba Kodesh Baruchu, Natil Uhu Mila, Hashem takes that word, Nashakla, he kiss it, Asarla Bishivan Atrin, Lifin Umachakakin. And Hashem is enclosing it with Shivan Itrin, Glifin Umachakakin. I'm not 100% sure exactly what all that is. 70 somethings, a lot of somethings. One second, let me see.
Atrin is
crown. Yes. Yeah, I guess refined, you know, well-beaten metal, you know, engraved, you know, super duper duper fancy crowns. Umila de Chachmasa, de Ischacha Salka v'Yasva al Reshe, and so to speak, sits on the person's head. This, you know, this Torah you wear on your head, so to speak, as a crown. V'Tasa mitaman v'Shata'as b'Shivin Elef Almin. And from there, it flies up, tas, like a plane. It flies up into 70,000 worlds. Basilikas lagabe atik yomin. And it goes up even higher. That's not another translation, but I'm not sure what else to say about that. But himila stima. And now something that was previously satum is now open. The chachmasad is chadashacha, based on whatever the chachma that is now being mitzchadesh at the moment. Kad salka itchabret b'inun milin d'atik yomin. That this chachma is being mitzchadesh, it goes up, and it's mitchaber, it connects with, I guess, things which are already there. I think that's what, I guess, atik yomin means. Stuff that's already, you know, in existence up there in Shemayim. The salka, the Nachta goes up and it goes down. Bahadidayu, they're kind of interacting in the spiritual, you know, G-force kind of thing. You know, bouncing off the walls with each other, the new, the old. The Ilas be Misnaser Almin. There's various Olamos, you know, hidden worlds. Gnizin Dayayin Lo Rasa, things which though, you know, previously the universe, no eye has ever seen. Nafkin mitamon shatan vaasyan milin ushleimin, and it goes out from there, and it's, you know, something. I'm not exactly sure what exactly. I can't tell you. I 100% understand this. V'it adatu kame atigemin. Okay, fine. Let's the next sentence. I think we can get with this one. Bahai shaita at that moment. Arach atik yomin bahai mila. I wish I had a better translation for what Atik Yomin means. I kind of was assuming it meant like kind of the existing, pre-existing Torah or spirituality. I hope I'm right, but I'm not positive. But it is Arach, it's Mariach, it smells. It, you know, inhales the beautiful fragrance of this new Torah, Bahi Mila of the new Torah, Necha Kame Mikula. And it's, you know, it's Ratsui, it's beautiful, it loves it more than anything else. Natil Hahi Mila, it takes that word of Torah, the Atarle, and it closed it b'shin ayin elf atrin with 370 more crowns. Hayimila tasat v'salka v'nachta. This now this dibur goes up and it goes down. It's aved it's rakia chada. Now you have a new firmament, a new level in the sky to be created. I mean, you know, you can do a lot when you learn Torah. V'chein kol milu umila v'chachmasa. Here, I think this is an important part. A lot of that it was a little bit. All beyond us, but like even I'm not even sure what to do with it on any level. But here, I think on our level, we can understand. Every word, every dibor and dibor of chachma, not avdin rikiyin kayamin b'kiyuma shalim kame atik yomin. It is making more and more new and sustainable and, you know, permanent worlds up there in Shemayim. Ukarilun Shemayim chadashim. That's what the pasuk referred to when it said Shemayim chadashim. Steamin derozin de chachmasa ila. Right, things which had been closed and they were secrets and they were hidden are now revealed. V'chol ilan shar milan daraisa d'mischadshin, all other things in Torah that are mischadesh kiyamin kamikuch abrichu, they are in existence, so to speak, standing before Hashem. V'slikin is avidu aratzos chayim, and they, so to speak, go up and they create living worlds. Nachtin u'ma'atrin, then they kind of rest and become a crown. Ischadish v'isabed kula eretz chadasha mahim mila. This is a chadish baraisa, and then they somehow make this new spiritual world. As the pasuk in the Navi says, "Kasher shamayim hachadashim asherni oseh." It doesn't say asiti. Asiti locative, as in I once upon a time Hashem said, "Bereshis bara lekim etashamayim asaretz." No, not in the past. El oseh, the David tadir. Right? How is it possible? Right? Hamachadash betuvo yichol yom tami. Or this is another example in the present tense. So whatever you thought the answer was to that question, Chaim Volozhiner's answer is because all of whatever it is we don't really understand happening, but somehow you are creating all sorts of supernatural worlds and netherworlds whenever you learn Torah. Each and every world, each and every word, should I say, a word is a world. I think there was something, for the Holocaust, everyone a world, or every name a world. I think that was one of the Holocaust books or memorial program. Anyway, but here it's every word is a world. Every world, every word of Torah is creating another world. And they create, you know, again, and there's this metaphor, which I can't really understand, but it seems like this process, I'm not sure what the right scientific analogy would be, where it's like, it's a self-perpetuating site. In other words, the Torah creates the crown, which goes up and down in this ping-pong machine and creates a world, and then comes back down and creates another crown, which creates another world. There seems to be something like that going on. And again, I can't say I totally, even significantly understand it in any real way. But the idea, you know, at the very least, it gives us a very strong impression of the incredible power and the significance of the Torah. Let's just try to finish this, and then we can see if there's any other lessons we can take from this and how we want to try to process this, because there's no point in doing this unless we kind of process it with something we can take away from it, even if it's only a fraction of what he says. Asisi loksiv el ozed David tadir. Hashem is constantly making the world. What is that? Inan chidushin verozen daraisa. How is Hashem constantly making the world? And that is through these various chidushim and secrets of the Torah that are being revealed. Vadoksiv, and that's what the pasuk says. Vasim devarai beficha then toa shemaim velisod aretz. Amar Rabbi Lazar mahu ubetzel yadi kisiticha. In the shadow of my hand, I will cover you. Again, I'm not sure, I don't know where this medrash is from or that he's quoting, but he doesn't quote the whole thing. You know, v'chulei v'chulei, at least in my version. I don't know if one of you with footnotes that has more of a text. Now that this world has become a crown before Hashem, ihu chafi ahahi mila, so to speak, covering, encompassing the word of Torah, kasi ahu barnash, and in that sense, covering or encompassing the person, it's avid mehimila shmaim chadashim v'eretz chadasha, until somehow it's created a new actual world. Okay, lemor letzion imi ata al tikri ami. Excuse me, I mispronounced that. Although he's going to tell me not to say it anyway. Lemor letzion ami ata. Say to Tzion, you are my people. Al tikri ami ella imi naveshutva imi. Right, Hashem is making a call. Not be my people, which is nice enough. Be my partner. Ma'ana b'milula delay avad shemayim v'aretz. And we know that this idea, again, I think we saw this, if I remember correctly, last time, and it's already in Pirkei Avos, right? Hashem created the world, ba'asara ma'amaros. There's something about the word, right? What did Hashem use to create the world? The world? The word. So here is a similar idea from the Zohar. Ma'ani b'milula delay avad shemayim v'aretz. It's like, I, with my words, created shemayim v'aretz. Uf hachiat, so to you, zaken inin d'vishtadlin b'o. Rice. Whoa! Okay, that was a significant piece of Zohar. So, what say you? What do you take from this? How do you process this? Not at all. Nothing, Oja?
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, come on! Let's think in broad strokes. I don't know if we can refine it. We'll refine it. But let's start in broad strokes. What's the takeaway?
Chidushim are important.
Okay, that's very very broad. I think we could do more than that, but it's certainly a good place to start, right? Chidushim are important. Okay, let's see if can we get a little bit more specific, detailed.
It can lead to further. You mentioned that thing where it kind of comes back, so it can lead to further either chidushim or just other.
Creating, right. You know, there's the two most, you know, consistent ideas that he mentioned here, I mean, multiple times, right? Was the idea of ensconcing or encrowning the person, and the ability to create all sorts of worlds.
Kind of like makes us like, not parallel, you know, parallel with Hashem in the sense that, you know, just like, you know, we're imitating Hashem, just as Hashem creates worlds.
Yes,
you know,
yes. The last line, for sure, that's explicitly trying to say that. I want you, Hashem says, to be to be my partner. Again, there are all sorts of ways to say that. A lot of different Torah could end up with that. You know, some people say, do Tikkun Olam, and then, you know, you're partnering with Hashem. Okay, maybe, if it's the right Tikkun Olam. People, when they usually quote Tikkun Olam, forget the end of the Pasuk. Taken Olam, Pamachot Shakai. If it's against the Malchut Shakai, it's not called Tikkun Olam, by definition. But okay, but there are all sorts of Malchut Shakai, also the Torah values. They could also be social values. So if a person could make the world a better place, Lafi HaHashkafa of the Torah, so that's, yeah, that's partnering with the world. But another way, which we often don't appreciate, often I think most people, is, you know, the power of studying of Torah. So I think, you know, there's one level, which hopefully wouldn't be related to you guys, you know, guys in yeshiva, which is the ability of Torah to impact the person learning. Right? Now, obviously, in the big wide world, also the people don't appreciate that. But somebody who's been touched by the beauty of Torah, someone who's learned Torah even for some length of time, whether they're in yeshiva currently or not, hopefully, you know, had an experience and exposure enough to understand the ability of Torah to impact, you know, his life. And maybe if you ask a person, you know, in, you know, has Torah impacted the world, right? You don't have to be like an XSY advisor, you know, to like talk about like, or, you know, just look at what the ideas that came from the Jews and from the Torah, let alone the quote Judeo-Christian values that have literally changed the world. Like you can get this, you know, you can get a dissertation and, you know, PhD on that. I mean, there's real things you can speak to in terms of the values of the world, the concrete things of the world. But he's obviously saying much more than that. Right? He's saying even if you sit alone in the Beis Medrash, the kind of thing which, you know, there's a huge percentage of the population that either mocks or even Chas V'Shalom, they don't mock, they don't value it. What's the benefit? What's the upside? That's selfish learning. Now, yes, Torah Chesed might be most acutely when you're giving over Torah. I have no problem saying that. But I think what he's trying to claim is that willy-nilly, by definition, there's no such thing as really selfish Torah. Because actually, whether you realize it or not, and now he wants you to realize it, is your Torah is keeping the world alive. We saw that last time, right? He really believes if there would be no one studying Torah, the world would go, right? There'd be nothing left to the world. I mean, that's just what he says. I can't say I know. I think that's therefore what he believes because he said it. Unless I told, you know, unless everyone totally misunderstands him, he definitely says that. So he's following up on that and saying not just in the negative sense, but like, I mean, maybe it's not just the negative, maybe they all go together, meaning the world we know is constantly, you know, every second something's dying too. Lots of things are dying. Not every millions of skin cells and all sorts of things in nature. So what's constantly replenishing it? So you might have thought that it's just, you know, whatever, you know, mechanism we learned about in biology class or whatever, physics, right? But Rav Chaim Volozhin would say, yeah, that's just the outer clothing of it. What's really replenishing the world, what's really keeping it going, is the Torah study. And each time you learn Torah, you're creating these worlds, which are not only impacting the person, that's why he keeps on talking about, I think, about being ma'ater, right, crowning the person and all that stuff. That's the impact of Torah on the person. But there's also this cosmic significance to Torah. So if you are a person who's hardwired and leans towards more metaphysical, mystical stuff, like this is like amazing for you. But I think even if a person is not, and I'm definitely, you know, leaning towards the not in terms of just my own way of thinking of the world, but I think, you know, this should and could, not just could, it should, you know, still have a big, you know, make a rosham on us in terms of even those of us who are learning, get the fact you aren't learning, even those who are learning don't always appreciate the importance of learning and the power of learning. And that even if we don't fully understand it, you know, which I certainly do not, but, you know, there's at least, you know, some belief, you know, in the fact that our Torah, and not just, you know, the Rosh Hashiva's Torah, and not just when 10,000 people are learning Torah, but every individual's Torah, you know, is impacting the world. And even though he didn't use exactly this term, but when he's going back and forth between building the worlds cosmically and all the things he's talking about the individual, I guess another way of saying that point, which we kind of already said, was you're building your world. In other words, it's like you're recreating the world. I would say you're recreating yourself. You know, with every bit of Torah that you learn. You know, with you briefly even earlier today, and you know, I've talked to people. Obviously, this time of year, a lot of times the conversation comes up with what to do over the summer. So since I want to finish the parak, I want to give you the whole story now, teaser. When I was a year older than you are now, for just finishing my first year at YU, I wasn't sure what to do for the summer. And I had two options, one of which was learning in a learning program full-time, and the other was to do a Kirov, you know, informal education type camp thing. And I wasn't sure what to do, and I remember when I phrased the question to Rosenzweig, I basically phrased it as, you know, the learning program would be better for me, but, you know, in the short term, but, you know, maybe in the long term, if I end up going to chinuch, so learning the skills of informal education would be important, possibly mikari of these kids, hopefully, and leave aside what I ended up doing for the summer, but he corrected me right away about my formulation and my approach. I remember him saying to me, more or less, and he didn't quote the Nefesh HaChaim then, but he was basically channeling it, you know, he said, every word of Torah you learn, whether you end up teaching it or not, it doesn't matter what, you know, whether you end up being a teacher, and even if you become a teacher, you may not teach that Reb Chaim you learned that summer. The point is, every bit of Torah, you know, has the ability to transform you. What he didn't say to me, and I never asked him, you know, how much he believes, subscribes to this or not, he didn't say, you're also building 100 other worlds, and, you know, up in the solar system, the galaxy, that he didn't tell me. But he did say, you're building yourself. And I think that that is very much, you know, it's a chicken and an egg in Reb Chaim Volozhiner's, you know, metaphysical vision. Okay, so I think we got something out of it, don't you? There you go, not nothing. Okay, let's do one more Zohar, much smaller, thank God. I didn't say that; I just was thinking it. And then one more Medrash. Well, Parshas Vayechi, Ksiv says in Shir Hashirim, Ha Daim Natnu Reach. This pot of figs are giving off a pleasant fragrance. Elaine Inun Ishkach Ruvain. This is talking about this, these plants or these flowers or these fruits, whatever it is that the Ruvain found and moved around with the beds. If you remember the story, the pasuk continues. Al petachenu kol megadim. Right, and I'll put by our doorways all the sweet fruits. What is that referring to? Inun garmu lemahavi al petche bate kinesios ubate medrashos kol megadim. He's talking about the context there is Yisachar, which is Torah study. They will cause that there will be by the doorways of every shul and every base medrash these sweet, sweet fruits. And what are the fruits described as? Chadashim gam yishanim, new and old. What's new and old? Kama mili chadasin vatikin daraisa iskalia al yadhu. Right, which is something we saw in the previous Zohar. Right, there's the commingling of the old existing Torah that's already up there with the new Torah, the Chidushim and the existing Torah. So that's Chadashim Gan Mishanim. It'll all come together to make this sweet fruit, this pleasant fragrance. Dodi Tzafanti Lach. I have hidden for you, my beloved. What is that referring to? Mehocha Ulifna. From here we learn. Called Ishtad Abal Raisa Kirikayos. Anyone who's Mishtadel, works hard, steigs in the base medrash, works hard, is a masmid, as much, you know, Kamosha Tzarich, Karaui, Gidat Yaus. The Yoda Le Mechede Million. And it's interesting here, he doesn't just say Lischaduse means he's Mechadesh. Here he adds another thing, which is, you know, even for those of us who aren't so big in Chidushim, Yodei L'Mechadeh, someone who knows how to be Sameach. You should be learning with, in Yiddish, it would be a Bren. A Bren means enthusiasm. Geschmack is excitement, but a Bren is enthusiasm, right? To be learning with excitement, like you hear, you know, you get it, it's a great line in the Gemara, a great Tosfos, a great Rashi. Wow, it's amazing, exciting. That, so it's one thing to have Chidushim, that's great, okay, but not everyone has Chidushim. But everyone could be happy and excited when they learn, right? It's not, right? You know, Hinani Mikhaim, it's us being serious, right? That's not the point. No, we're actually supposed to have a certain enjoyment and pleasure, excitement, take pleasure in the learning. So so says the Zohar, if you are mechadish k'moshe tzarich, if you are sameach, as is deserving, k'kayos, as is deserving, as is appropriate, inun milim salkana karase demalka, those words of Torah go all the way up to the kisei hakavod. The Knesset Yisrael, patach lon, and the Jewish people who do this, they are opening up terein gunis luhun, all sorts of, you know, hidden pathways up to Shamayim and up in the freeway up in the sky. Now, how's this for an image for you? That there are times, I don't know when or how often, that Hashem walks into Gan Eden, as it were, to play, i.e. to talk and learning with the tzaddikim that are there. That's Hashem's pleasure, right? When Hashem needs, you know, gets a few minutes off from running the world, what does he do? He goes into Gan Eden with the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. What does he do then? Afik luhun kameh. He takes out the new chidushei Torah. Umestakel b'hu v'chadeh. He looks at them. He enjoys them. Kedin kush abrichum atar ba'atrin. He puts the crowns on them, etc., etc. Then he writes them in a book. Mahi shaita milo kasivin b'sifrei. He writes them in some permanent book. V'zaka chulke ma'ad ishtada b'raisa kedikyos. Ashrei is the one. How praised is someone whose chelik is that they get to do this kind of Torah on the right lay. Zakuhu b'alma v'zakuhu b'alma da'asei. Right? It's a tremendous chus for you in this world and in the next world. Okay, let's finish up. Finally, the Tanur Be'el Yohu, Sof Perak Yurchas, Pasuk says in Yechezkel, "V'hanachal." I think we saw this pasuk previously. "Hanachal ya'ale alsfa." So along the stream will grow on both banks of the river. On the stream, zemizeh kol etz machal, all sorts of fruit trees. Uperisham kol ze akatuv al divrei Torah. That's the whole metaphor there in that pasuk in those areas in Yechezkel. Talking about Torah. What does that mean? What is the chadoshav yevaker? The pasuk continues that the fruit on there will ripen there. Months after that, the fruits will ripen. What does that mean? The machadshe Torah. It's talking about the people who are machadish Torah. She machadishes the Torah b'chayom tamid. When you are Mechadish Torah, think about all the simcha you're giving your father. Obviously, so, yet another phenomenon. Again, we have like this. It's like we saw last time, right, from the Zohar. Yisrael v'araisa chadhu, right? It's all together. So when we are doing Chidushei Torah, and he adds here, which I think is an important thing, and just smechen b'Torah, even if we're not being mechadish Torah, so we are building ourselves, building the world, building the next world, giving simcha to Hashem. Everything is interconnected in this kind of cosmic galaxy kind of way.